He had the operation. How has it been going since, Pa?
Very, very difficult, the recovery. We always knew it would be, you know, a difficult process, but it's extremely difficult. He's in a lot of discomfort and pain. But the amount of sedation and stuff that they can provide Aaron has to be reduced due to the, you know, involvement of the surgery, which, you know, it's minimally invasive, but it's still within his brain.
Oh, okay.
So he needs to be able to respond to the neuro team and to the ENT team. And there's so many teams working on Aaron here. And it's, without exaggeration, it's a minute-to-minute kind of process here. So, you know, the surgery was one thing, but the recovery is vitally, it is as vitally important for the best outcome for Aaron.
It's a slow process, really, isn't it? I mean, from all accounts, the surgery was a success, yeah, but it's the recovery now is the issue, isn't it?
It is, and like as one of the neurosurgery team said to us, it is the equivalent of what they say in America, a semi truck accident head on. You know, the impact in the head, it's pretty severe, but it was expected, if that makes sense. Like the clarity of, you know, post surgery recovery was very well explained to Aaron and to Gail and myself and his brother Andrew before everything went ahead, you know.
Paul, just to put it into perspective, and I know now we're operating on a slight delay in the line, so I apologise for that. Take us back to the 18th, the day of the operation. Like, one can only imagine, like, poor Aaron wouldn't have known what was going on because he'd have been sedated and you know, anaesthetised. But, like, how do you, as parents, as family, as, you know, close friends, how do you survive a day like that, 11 or 12 hours on the sideline? How do you keep occupied?
Go back one day further. It started on Tuesday. Will I start there? Because there's a couple of parts to this. On the Tuesday, Aaron underwent what they call a BOT test, a balloon occlusion test, which basically was to see if Aaron could survive, his brain could survive without blood supply through an artery which was surrounded by tumour. And that was the first procedure. So they don't call that full surgery, but it still was surgery. It's almost the reverse of an angiogram. And he had devices inserted through arteries up to the main artery in the brain, and he came out of that. He was only sedated really for that, not really sedated, but slightly sedated. But I think everybody has seen the photograph of Aaron with his thumbs up. That was taken after that procedure. So that was Tuesday. So initial reports on that was quite good. So, you know, you're not kind of looking at the surgery, you know, minute to minute at that time. Then we go forward to Wednesday morning. Very, very early start. Aaron had stayed in hospital overnight. And basically the Dr. Gardner, who did the procedure, came to myself and Gail and Aaron and basically told us that, look, this BOT test and the nuclear medicine involved in that showed that Aaron's brain would not be able to survive without that artery. So suddenly things changed. And, you know, but saying that, he was still confident he could do it, but it just made the operation extremely difficult and the opening within his nasal cavity a lot bigger. Now, there's parts of this are pretty graphic, so I'll just...
Well, it is lunchtime over here. But look, the upside of it is that he survived the, was it 11-hour surgery?
Well, as I previously said, no, we didn't see Aaron for just over those 11 hours. But to be honest about it, the last thing we were going to ask the surgeon when he came to meet us in the family room, you know, how long was he in surgery? We didn't even ask that question. All we knew is our beautiful boy was gone for 11 hours, and you know. It isn't something that we were going to ask, but I think the longest part of that day was the the 10 minutes that Gail and I waited in that room waiting for news.
Yeah. One can only imagine, Paul. But again, you know, extenuating the positives, he survived it. He's a fighter. He's a battler. He's been through a lot in his 18 years, especially in the last couple of years. He's on the road, isn't he?
He's on the road to recovery. It's going to be a long road. You know, there's potentially a lot of things that, you know, could go wrong. But, like, let's put it this way, we always knew that those risks are there. But the good side of this is that, you know, he's doing very well. He's, as I said, now he's in a lot of discomfort and a lot of pain. But this was Aaron's wish because what else was available from at home? Nothing.
Okay, and on that subject, Paul, and we won't go into it too much, but you were quoted on one of the media sources here as being critical of the HSE. Was that a remark taken out of context? Is it something you'll address at a later stage, or what's the situation?
It's something that I personally will need to address when I return home, but I suppose for every other parent that's listening to this, I wouldn't wish it on any other family, but there is definitely, and it is our opinion that there is something radically, seriously wrong with the care for children in the Republic of Ireland. And that it still is our sense. And we're very, I suppose we're very upset because we had to go through, you know, a process. Now, you know, everybody accepts that you have to make applications and you have to do all that sort of paperwork, but what really baffles me in a situation when you have a child that's critically ill, in our situation, if he didn't have surgery, he was going to die. That a doctor who's willing and is able to help in getting, you know, our child over to the United States of America can't pick up a phone, make a phone call, you know, and say, listen, we need this to happen. That didn't happen. The restrictions that are there for doctors in our system, something is wrong. Something is radically wrong.
I know, and I'm sure there are several people over here that would concur and back you up there. I suppose the main thing, as I keep on saying, is, you know, he's been treated now. He has had the surgery. It looks like it was a success, whether it was one or two surgical procedures he's had. I suppose, and I don't mean to sound mean here, Paul, but I suppose the fact that he's able to recognise pain, is that a good sign?
Absolutely. As I said, now they need him, you know, very responsive to, you know, their instructions. Like they're constantly in and out checking that his vitals are right, oxygen levels, blood pressure, and all that. And then he's able to respond to commands. That he still has functions in all four limbs, and all that. Thanks be to God, is working. And all I can say to people back home is, keep those candles lit for Aaron.
Well, that's what I was going to say to you. When I put it up on my Facebook page that hopefully I was going to be speaking with you today, people like great listeners to the station here, like Phil Mangan, Liz and Dave Maddox in Castlemarte, or Phil Mangan is a great woman here in Yall, and the amount of good wishes I got in online on my Facebook feed, and you can see them yourself later. Night lights are still lighting, prayers are still being said, candles are lighting. You are in everybody's thoughts in here at the moment, down here, in not just in Yall, but right throughout East Cork. And I'd say nationally at this stage, because he is a hero, isn't he?
He's more than a hero. He's our son, and he's survived this. Let's put it this way, you know, Aaron lost faith, you know, when things went very bad and very wrong for him earlier this year. And, you know, without faith, you know, what do you have? But, like, as a family, we have great faith. And we've always had a belief that, you know, there's a guardian angel for every single child out there. And, you know, we just need that to continue. But the community support, especially in East Cork, Jerry, it's just incredible, because just to put this in out there, like, we literally got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of messages of best wishes, of goodwill, you know. The response is actually incredible. You know, Aaron obviously hasn't been on social media. He doesn't have his mobile phone. He's not able to use it yet, but I'd say when he turns that phone on, it'll probably buzz for about an hour with the amount of support he's got himself. But even before he went in for the main surgery last Wednesday, his phone was non-stop. You know, there's kids his age, you know, like he only turned 18 on Friday. And, you know, he's so positive, he's so strong. And this was his goal, was to get over there, because he always felt that the Irish system would let him down, which it did, you know. And he reached out to people and people responded.
Excellent. Now, I know the prognosis is good for the in the long term. Immediately, what kind of time frame are we looking at for, you know, to get him some bit of pain relief or some bit back on the road?
Well, the hope was that he'd be out of hospital earlier this week, but look, we've had a few bumps on the road there with the recovery, but it's all under control. And I'd say maybe, you know, it could be late this week, and maybe this weekend, it could be early next week, but he's going in the right direction, Jerry. He's doing very well.
He's in the right place to have these little bumps, isn't he? Because the care, they know what they're dealing with.
The care here is second to none. Like, let's put it this way. I don't want to be kind of sounding, you know, bashing the Irish health system. We have, in my opinion, we've probably some of the best doctors in the world, and we've probably some of the best hospitals in the world. But, you know, over here, the technology is more advanced. It's all about the dollar over in this country. But, you know, we as a country should have access to that for all our people. And I suppose that's why my frustration is, you know, going back to the HSE subject this morning, that's where my frustration is, you know, we seem to be driving stuff into Europe. But, like, Europe is able to do certain things, but the United States of America have some very top hospitals, and is that available for our citizens? From our experience, it's not.
Okay. And look, you know, we understand your frustration, and that'll be dealt with at a later stage. I know, speaking to you off air, that'll be dealt with. And everything comes to those that wait. But look, the important thing is that we end the interview on a positive note. On behalf of Aaron, is there a message you'd like to give to our listeners right now?
Well, I know Aaron was saying to us, you know, before he went down for the operation, he says, would you ever make sure that everybody back home knows what's happening? And, you know, he's so grateful and so thankful. He keeps saying, I never thought this would happen. I didn't think that so many people would care about him. But look, the result is exceptionally good. You know, we got here. We wouldn't have got here without the support of people back home. Like Aaron needs, he will need ongoing support after the surgery. Like as we've reported already, the surgeon removed 100% of the tumour and the bone area. And as far as they're concerned, they got clear margins. We're still waiting for the reports back on that, but all indications are to say that it's good. There are always risks because it's cancer, that you could have a recurrence, or you might have missed a microscopic bit. But, you know, please God that we've got this chance, and Aaron has got his chance to live his dreams and live his life and be able to smile and, you know, shake the hand of every citizen back home, especially in the community of East Cork, because all I could say is we are so blessed that we were living in this community of East Cork, because people literally dug deep and helped. And, you know, as a small family in Shanagarry, we are so grateful.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you said about digging deep. The GoFundMe page is still open, because it's very important that the funding is kept up, isn't it?
It is, because, we have signed a legally binding agreement for the surgery and the costs associated with that here at the end of the day. You know, the house is literally signed over, but, you know, a house is a house. It's a home when you have a child that's doing well. And that has always been our attitude. But, like, people have taken away that fear element for us as a family by helping us and having sales and, like, all the different shops and pubs and everything that was run for us. I don't really want to specify.
Well, I know that's going to continue. I know that's going to continue, Paul, and it will continue. Look, give Aaron all our best wishes. You need some rest, dude, because you sound wrecked. Give our regards to Gail.
I'm back in the apartment. Gail is doing the shift at the moment. But the one thing what we've seen is people are looking for the address for the apartment in Pittsburgh to send wishes and cards and stuff. What I would suggest to people is the way to support Aaron on the recovery is the song that he wrote, One in a Million, which is available on iTunes. If people search on iTunes, One in a Million Goldfish Syndrome, it's only 99 cents. The proceeds of that are going for Aaron, and he needs every couple of cents he can get, because the follow-up is going to be in America and all the care is going to be in America. So, Aaron will return home, and as I said months back, he'll return home a better boy, but he still will need support from people. But that's a very good way for supporting Aaron. Plus, as well, I know he was monitoring it nearly on an hourly basis, see how he was getting. They got to number one on iTunes, and you should see the excitement of him. It was just incredible.
Absolutely.
And again, that's down to the community of East Cork.